Morning, I had this other place pop up. I don't know why it did, but the second one was Living Faith, and I went ahead and did that. You can do it also; it'd be great. I would love to shake your hand if you're a first-time visitor. I'll be at the Welcome Center afterwards, and I'll also just Erman. I will be there just to maybe pray with you if you need additional prayer. Let's believe that we're Living Faith Church, and what we mean is what we say, and we're named Living Faith for a reason. And so, faith that you can see as we gather. As we grow and as we, amen. Let's welcome the Facebook Live audience right now. Come on. I'm so thankful that you're here. If you're ever in San Antonio, we'd like to just welcome you to be part of Living Faith Church. Come visit. You'll meet the best people in the whole wide world. They're right here at Living Faith Church. Message notes, if you have those, they're going to be downloaded right there in the comment section. Linda does a great job. She's responsible for our social media. You'll see those coming to you right now. But message notes here for Living Faith Church. Do you have those handy? If you don't, raise your hand high. You'll need those. They make the sermon seem a lot shorter than what it is. A three-hour sermon will turn into a 30-minute sermon. How about a 10-minute sermon? Amen. But if you don't have them, you can get those. You got them 100%? You got them? Nodding at me? Good. You're ready to go. Amen. A couple of things I want to tell you about for our church. Next week is the legacy offering. We've been talking about it for several weeks. We've been praying about what we would give on that day, Sunday, which is coming up. December 23rd, and I want to invite you to just share in the joy of what we're going to give towards. We're going to give towards one in our city, and that's John Jay. They have a Bible Club, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and they do a great work, and we're going to sow that towards our city. They're reaching kids right at their level, and we thank God for the work that they're doing. It's a harvest field, so we'll be splitting the money up in three ways. Then we'll reach our state. How many know Texas still needs Jesus? The greatest state in the world. Thank God we're Texans here. And the Go Church is happening with Pastor Lee and Robin Brockington. You may recognize that because Lee and Robin have established the Belize Church that we've been supporting for many years. They've come back stateside and they're launching a church called Go Church in Katy, right outside a suburb there of Houston. And they're going to do a tremendous job. These are the type of people that when you sow money into, it goes a long way. How many know your investment should go long? Especially with God, it goes all of eternity. What they've done in Belize, as we've planted, they've been there probably about 5 years, is they've already have a building probably about this size. Within 5 years, they did that. It didn't take 20 years. It took 5 years for them. They have a native pastor that's already established there and is doing the work of God. So they've trained up a native pastor, a Belize pastor, and they left it in his hands. Isn't that a good thing to do to disciple people? So the work of the apostle is upon Lee and Robin, and they're doing a great work. And so our money will be sent there, and they'll use it, and it'll be good. Amen. Finally, for the world, the Mission Press not only does the work of God in the States, but they go worldwide. And what they do is with a solar-powered press, they'll set it up where there's no electrical outlets, there's no plugs, and solar power through the sun and run printed pieces for Jesus that speaks to them in their own native language. And so we're reaching the world all three ways. Again, are you excited about giving next week? Let it overflow and thank God for it today. Right, everybody? A couple of things. One more thing. One more slide. One more thank you. This past week, the Living Faith Church outreached in just so many great ways. All the people that put together great things for us to just go in and enjoy. The harvest field was awesome. We did the Wednesday night. We were able to go to the Legend Oaks retirement home or nursing home, and children were there. About 29 of us showed up. Isn't that great? Did the work of God. Y'all sang so heavenly, and we gave out gifts, and it was a blessing to pray with people. On Friday morning, Alex and Lisa Copeland led a group of us, and we were able to reach out to John Jay. You know, they showed up with about $200 worth of food, Taco Cabana, Dunkin' Donuts, juice, cereal, and it was amazing. So 150 kids showed up by word of mouth, us being in the parking lot. Hey, breakfast is in there. They would go inside that building, the small building, yeah, and go, yeah, we're not going to shave your heads. Go on there. They went in there kind of leery. What are these people about? But they got to walk into our church on an invitation. Amen? And if there would have been, honestly, $500 worth of food, the kids would have eaten it. Because at the end, it ran out. All there was cereal. And cereal was good, but it was a blessing because I always get this when we reach out this way. And sure enough, it happened again. They said, why are y'all doing this? So, I kind of got tongue-tied on them. I said, well, because we love you. And they go, and we love God, but we love you. And they looked at me kind of weird, and they kept going. And it's what we should be doing, and thank God we'll be doing it more and more. And thank God for great leadership. Amen. Give yourselves a hand. Amen. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Based on the New York Times bestseller, Wonder, there's a film called Wonder. It's a heartwarming story of August Pullman. And he's born with facial deformities. He's had all these surgeries, and he's been homeschooled all this time. And when he wants to enter the fifth grade, because his mother is saying, you know, now all the other kids are going to, so it's going to be a time, and she forces him to go to school, a prep school. And there's new classmates that he'll have, and of course his parents are worried. You saw Mama make a prayer. Julia Roberts says, "Dear Lord, please let them be kind to him." Which is incredible about how many times that we ask for our own kids, our grandchildren, that we do the same, not faced with the challenge that Augie's faced, as he's known in the movie. He proves that when you can't blend in, you stand out. And I believe that's a message for every follower of Jesus, right, in this room? And so there's just ways of seeing Christ in this movie, Bible truths that we can explore today. And I want you to be wonderful today. Amen. Samuel was a prophet of God that was so powerful that when he went into towns, because of the power of God on him, he would shut towns down. And they would say things like this, "Prophet of God, we don't want one word to fall to the ground because they're so precious coming out of your mouth that I don't want one thing from your mouth to fall. I want to take it all in." That's how powerful Samuel was. He was the first prophet of God. Well, he missed God once, because he looked on the outward instead of the inward. And we have this famous scripture of it, and we're seeing it on the big screen. It's in your handout also, in your message notes. And he said, "This must be the king. Look at this guy. He's tall, dark, you know, handsome. He surely is the king. He's going to be a great leader, because we got to replace the other guy. He hasn't followed Jesus." And so he looks at this young man. He said, "He's going to be a great leader." But the Lord told him this, and it's found in your handout on the screen. It says 1 Samuel 16:7. "But the Lord said to Samuel, Eliab is tall and handsome, but don't judge things like that. God doesn't look at what people see," and that's so important today, right? People judge by what's on the outside, but the Lord looks at what's on the inside, the heart, right? "And Eliab is not the right man." I'm sure Eliab was a good guy. He was raised in the home of Jesse, God-fearing sons, but he just wasn't what God wanted at that moment today. And so we have advice from God today. Don't look at the outside, because the outside's not so important as what's on the inside. Our natural inclination is, what's going on with that guy? Well, let me look at the outside. And it's not so true, because you look on the inside. God judges what we cannot see today. And isn't the world obsessed with the outside? Culture is today, right? When we see Augie, he's introduced, and he's this struggling young man with his appearance, trying to, and he should be. It's a challenge to look at him. And he wears this space helmet they got him for a Christmas present. And there's this one scene that I caught as a FedEx guy is watching him ride his bike. And he looks like a normal kid because the space helmet's on him. But it's kind of funny to see a kid with a space helmet going down the street real fast, and he's riding his bike. But that's the only way he feels he can be accepted, if he wears a space. And so the guy smiles at him, the postal worker just looks at him and just smiles, and what a great kid. We look at them wearing a NASA, a space helmet today. I think about how it's sometimes we hide our appearance, maybe not with a space helmet, but we hide who we really are on the inside, and God wants to do a great work. Or if you only saw a person, how they really looked on the inside, maybe we would have a little bit more compassion for them, wouldn't we? We were made by God to truly see each other. We were made by God to see God's creation. Don't be checking her out that way. I'm not talking about that way. Amen. What I'm talking about is looking eyeball to eyeball with people and seeing the beauty of God in people's lives today as we connect with God's people. Right, everybody? And so I have some Wonder movie lessons that are biblical that I want you to take note of. And you have them right there to follow along. Let's say this together. Number one, A beautiful, number one, here we go. A beautiful outward appearance doesn't necessarily equal wonderful. Julian, there's always one villain, and the villain is played by Julian, this handsome kid that is, has it all together. It has the little gang, and everybody wants to be part of his little clique. But he turns out to be the ugliest guy in the movie, the guy that really has not done right. And Augie doesn't have the capacity to have the looks, but he wins people over because of his heart. Have you ever met somebody that's so beautiful on the outside, but on the inside, well, how can we put it? They weren't all that, right? You don't need to call him a jerk. You can thank it, though, right, everybody? Yeah. And Proverbs speaks of a beautiful person, and it can be a man or a woman in this case. And it's the Passion Edition translation of the Bible, Proverbs 11:22. A beautiful woman abandons good morals. Here's it goes. You can be beautiful, and that's great. But if you abandon good morals, here's what's going to happen. It's like a gold ring dangling from a pig's. That just doesn't fit. And young people in this room that are hearing me that are in high school, college, you have a priority, and it is inner beauty. And I can understand that because you want to be attractive to other people, especially the opposite sex. But God is saying, you know what, if you work on that, that's okay, but make sure that you concentrate on the inner beauty of your life today, because you'll always be beautiful. You'll always be beautiful, amen, if you do that today. Right, everybody? This movie teaches us that appearances don't always equal wonderful on the outside today. Daniel Hammerish, he's an English professor at UT Austin. He wrote a book called Beauty Pays. And he said, why attractive people, the subtitle, why attractive people are more successful. He says attractive people, on the average, as he did a study, earn 3-4% more than the person below looks, average looks. Do you know how blessed that you are that you weren't born ugly? You were that close to being born ugly, amen? Tell your neighbor you're pretty blessed today, amen? You look good, amen? Yeah, amen. You could have been ugly, amen? Yeah, and look, you're not, right? Hey, other studies show, just having some fun, amen? You know you're attractive, amen? You look at yourself in the mirror. The studies show that pretty people get more attention from teachers, from waiters, from leaders, from mentors. Maybe that's why they don't look at you at the restaurant, right, everybody? Babies even get studied longer that have beautiful faces because they're beautiful babies, amen? The most powerful thing right now in our culture is social media. And we make ourselves, because the filter's 20 pounds lighter, we take away the acne blemishes and the lines and so forth, because we know that we can get a job now, maybe a little bit better, because people are now, HR people are looking at LinkedIn, they're looking at Facebook, they're looking at your Instagram account, your Twitter account, because it's likely that a good-looking person will get the job. Oh, they look like they have fun, look at them, we'll hire them, right? It's not so surface-based, but sometimes it is, right, everybody? Yeah. The inward still remains hidden, even on a Facebook picture, a selfie that you took right today. I want you to look at the beauty of what God's done on the inside of people rather than the outside with me, and let's emphasize that. The truth is, the essence is found more of a person, is found more on the inside than the outside, because that's what remains, doesn't it? In the end, person's beautiful because they were beautiful on the inside and then outlived them today. Let's stop judging on the outside with outward appearances today and judge on the inside, and you'll never know what they'll go through until you find out on the inside. Let's pursue this today. I want you to choose kindness because it's wonderful.
I wonder what happened. Maybe Jack touched Omni and couldn't wash his hands in time. Jack finally got the plague.
That's not very nice.
Well, we didn't start it. Where are you going?
Hi, I'm Summer.
Arnold, we're in the same homeroom.
You don't have to do this.
Do what?
You don't have to be my friend. I know Tushman talked to you.
I don't know what you're talking about, Augie.
I know Tushman talked to some kids before school started and told them they had to be friends with me.
He didn't talk to me.
Yeah, he did.
No, he did not.
Yeah, he did.
No, he didn't. I swear on my life.
Okay.
You don't have to get mad.
I don't like being accused of things, okay?
Okay, I'm sorry.
You should be.
She really didn't talk to you?
Augie!
Okay, why are you sitting here then?
Because I want some nice friends for a change.
Me too.
Cool beans.
But you'll get the plague.
Good.
Summer has the plague.
Shut up. So what happened with Jack Will?
Promise you won't tell?
See, a real Christian, they'll follow that young girl's example of being kind. And she's an unsung hero in the movie. Her name's Summer. And she chooses to leave her friends at the popular table. The kids begin so early to have that outward appearance look. And she leaves to sit with Augie and become his friend. Kindness will always be in style. Kindness, you choose kindness because it's wonderful. No matter if you're young or old today, you know, you can tell even a person, they're very mature, but if they're kind, it will outlive them. Grandma was always kind. Grandpa was always kind. It's easy to be kind to your grandchildren, right? How about when they're riding with you in the car? Are you still kind to that person that... Because they're going to remember that, Grandpa, Grandma, amen. They're going to remember when they hear you on the phone or whatever. They're going to know if you were just kind just to them. Are you kind to everybody else? Are you kind when it really counts to that person that nobody knows? It's always mature. A child that's real kind when they're young is remembered. There's favor upon their lives. Kind just looks good on a person because it's what God would do. It lives through them today. Amen. It's a Christ-like action. In the South, we get away with a lot of stuff when we add this one little thing. We can criticize somebody in the South, but if we add these phrases, we can go ahead and patch it up, and it sounds all good. And it's something like this. Oh, look at that girl, the way she's dressed, all homely looking. Bless her heart. Because when you add bless her heart, or look at that guy, man, he don't even know how to, you know, act. Or he's all look crazy looking the way he looks and his hair and all that. Bless his heart. You take away everything you just said because bless his heart. Amen. Y'all can say that about, hey, he's doing the best he can preaching, but bless his. Amen. Thank y'all. I feel your love. Amen today. Amen. Yeah. Amen. You choose kindness today. Amen. It ain't even my birthday, and everybody's being nice to me, right? Everybody. When I was in second grade, Park Village Elementary, see, there was first grade, and we got to... Our classes were small enough that we got to repeat some of the same peers that we had. Our fellow students would come back. And one of the guys that came back to second grade, his name was Jerry. And you see the red arrow with that guy that has the bowl cut haircut, a second row? Well, that'd be me. Look at me. I'm all good looking in second grade, right? 1972, amen. That was Nava at Park Village Elementary. Miss Vincent's class. The other guy by Miss Vincent, his name's Jerry. I got to know Jerry, first grade, second grade, and I remember, man, you know what I always wondered? Why didn't my parents buy me a Park Village t-shirt that was green? I had to go to school all looking like that. Anyway, those kids got those, and I'm glad I didn't dress that way now that I look at that picture, right? But Jerry and I became friends. He probably became my best friend. And like most best friends, we would irritate each other in second grade, and there was something different about Jerry in first grade and second grade. He would talk really raspy like this. And sometimes his lips would be, I've noticed they would be, because you're close to your best friend, they would be kind of purple when I would get near to him. And I didn't know, I knew he was real thin and he was real frail sometimes. One time I remember being a kid, second grader, we're playing marbles. And because that's what we did. The smaller kids, the nerdier kids that weren't athletic, and I was playing marbles, and Jerry was irritating me, and I still remember this, and he was just bothering me, and I had this steely, and a steel marble was what you wanted, amen? It's shiny. Y'all remember marbles, amen? You just wanted it. And so Jerry was bothering me so much and just irritating me, and I said, here, take this and leave me alone. I know that's hard to believe, but I was that mean in second grade. And I gave it to Jerry so he could just leave me alone. I could continue playing marbles today. I want to also just real quick say this. I'm no hero. And some, I've learned the hard way not to make yourself look like a saint, because nobody is that, but we are what we are in our past, and it makes us the people that we are now. And so every bit of history in our lives counts in the volumes of God that he's written about everybody's beautiful life in this room today. Amen. Even if there's pain there, God can change that and rewrite a good future for you. And so anyway, we became friends, and second grade was over, and then we all went home. The next year was going to be third grade with Miss Porter, and I told history about her and all that stuff, and that's another sermon. But when we got into third grade, I remember, you know, after a week, most of the kids are back, some new kids, some have moved away. And so we didn't see Jerry. What had happened to Jerry? So finally, after a week later, you know, we asked the teacher, so what happened to Jerry? And she kind of whispers in a low tone towards some of us kids that remember Jerry, said, Jerry passed away in the summertime. He died of leukemia, I think, or some form of cancer. And, you know, you're in third grade, and you don't know about eternity. It doesn't hit you. You're a kid. So you're just like, wow, he's gone. And never forgot that moment, of course, because that's why I'm telling you I remembered it, just like you would remember something like that about your best friend in second or third grade. A few months later, we're in class, and I'm at this module station, and we're doing, you know, some sort of thing, and I'm, you know, writing, and I feel this woman behind me that's with my teacher, Miss Porter, third grade, and she's saying, that's him. That's Mario. And I turn around, and it's this lady I've never seen in my life before. And so later on, I go to my teacher. I go, hey, who was that? Who was that lady asking about me, you know? I don't know her name. You're giving my name to a stranger, you know? She said that was Jerry's mother. And she wanted to ask about you. She didn't know who you were. She had heard about you through Jerry. He would come home and talk about you. And I walked away so, like, as a second grader, see, the recall of things, sometimes you don't remember things till way after, years later, right, everybody? Can you imagine what that woman was saying or thinking about me as she looked at me do homework or write or whatever I was doing? That was the boy that was good to my son, right? God bless him. Kindness will outlive you. It really will. It will bless you more. Your acts of kindness will do things that will open up great doors for you that you don't, even if you're not walking with God like you should be, right, everybody? Amen. So I want you to choose kindness today, because it's a wonderful thing, right, everybody? Treat others the way God would treat you. There's a setting that we have in Ephesians, and it's not in a hotel. It's not at a cottage. It's lakeside, so he could write a bestseller. The Apostle Paul's in jail. And if anybody could be bitter about his setting, about how messed up it is, about how he's eating and what's around him and the stench and the how jail was at that time. And it's not good now, but it was even worse at this point. It's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, the setting of it. Paul says, instead, be kind to each other. And that's you and me. To be kind to each other in this church, right, everybody? Amen. To be kind in our community, to be kind with people that we see in our store and the places that we go to. Be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you, right, everybody? Amen. There's an exhortation of Paul saying, you know, kindness is this fruit of the Spirit. And you, let me see what kind of fruit that you are. apple, peach. let me cut that open. It's a watermelon. And fruit. What is it that's in you today? Kindness comes from the inside, doesn't it, today? Amen. And if you choose kindness, it just changes the world around you, and it changes your world today, and it reflects Christ's love towards you. The third principle is this. Hey, hit your neighbor and say, this guy's good. Hit your neighbor. He's already on the third point. You don't want to say that because you're tired anyway. Amen. Three, everyone's story is wonderful. Somebody say that with me. Everyone's story. Everybody has a story. The homeless guy that has the sign at 410 in Marbach, he has a story. The rich guy filling up his car at the gas pump, he has a story today, right? We have the ability to choose kindness, to listen to their story, because everybody has a story, right? Everybody? How different can you describe this between hearing a story and finishing somebody's story? When you finish somebody's story, it's because you look at the outside and just size them up, size that person up. Well, I know this and this about them because of the way they're dressed. In the movie, Augie looks at the shoes of these kids that are going to take them on a school tour. And the shoes of this one guy named Julian that's kind of like the enemy of the villain, well, he's all that. And he can say, this guy's rich. Augie sizes them up that way. The other guy is not so rich. And he says, you know, look at this best up shoes. They're secondhand. They're hand me down. You can tell this kid's poor. And he looks at this girl, and she has all these little bling things on her shoes like girls do, right, everybody? And she says, she's crazy. You know, so girls, be careful with what you're wearing today, right? Many times we assume someone's story, but it's a huge mistake, isn't it? It is, because you don't know their story. I read a powerful illustration about a man that's on a bus, and these three kids are acting unruly. They're just everywhere on that bus. And he's looking at this guy that's supposedly the dad, and he's saying, why don't you correct your kids? And the guy is like off into deep space, like he's on Mars somewhere. He's just not even paying attention to these three kids. Just holy terror is on the bus because these three kids are on the bus. And finally, he can't take it anymore because they're messing with him. They've come and invaded his space. And he says, hey, why don't you watch your kids? Take care of them. They're causing all this trouble. And the man that supposedly the dad says, I'm so sorry. See, he begins to whisper. He says, I'm the social worker. And I'm taking them right now to their grandparents because their father and mother just died in this horrific traffic accident. And I have to break the news to the grandparents, but I also have to break the news to them, these three children. See, you know, you don't know someone's story on the outside, do you? No one does until you get to talk. Everyone has a story. In our movie, Olivia, they call her Via. She's the eldest child, and she prayed for a little brother when she got him. His name was Augie. She prayed for him when she was like five, and they flash back the scene, and the birthday cake's there, and she's asking for a little brother. And then she realized, when the little brother comes, he's all these medical operations, and all the attention is driven towards him. And as the older sister, she gets little attention. Her universe now becomes, it revolves around Augie's, right? And she even has this first day of school where she walks back into school and her best friend Miranda, that was her best friend forever, something happened in Miranda's life because Miranda has a story, and she's kind of just shooing her off and blowing her off, and it hurts Via, and she's saying, you know, why isn't she my friend anymore? Even that kid that's a villain, Julian, he has a story, and we walk through these stories, and we realize hurting people hurt people. You never judge someone that's hurting sometimes because they're hurting people. Sometimes they've been hurt. You look at them with the compassion of God and you say, there's a story there about you. At one of the moments in the film, Via has to straighten up Augie because the world is revolving around him. And she yells at Augie and she says, it's not all about you. And how many of you have to tell that to your kids? It's not all about you, right? We've had to tell that to people in our lives today. One thing that Living Faith exemplifies and that we will never forget, let's listen long enough to hear someone else's story. It won't happen in our church, this setting, but you know where it will happen? In the small group. Experiencing God just finished up with one session, and there's another one happening on Monday nights, but they celebrated the students that went through that because they went through this intensive thing, but they met every week. They met every week to break down every lesson and to learn. But you know what happened in that? More, they experienced each other, the God within each other. And they walk with it, and it changed their lives, and they're closer together because they heard each other's story. And you'll never know someone's story in this sort of setting. That's why a small group at Living Faith Church, a serve group, is so important, because you hear each other's story, right, everybody? Augie says at the very end, everyone in their life deserves a standing ovation at least once. And that's what happens in a small group. You get together and you hear each other's story and you go, you know what, I'm just as weird. I'm just like that happened to me. Or I identify, and you realize I'm not as weird as I thought. Amen? Amen. You don't know the beautiful person that you're staring at. Until you hear how they've overcome, what they've walked through, what they've been through. You won't know how beautiful that person is until you hear their story. Amen, everybody?
Amen.
And that's why James chapter 1, verse 19 says this, my dear brothers and sisters, and that's us in this room. He's writing the living faith. Take note of this. Everyone should be quick to judge. Everyone should be quick to criticize. Everyone should be quick to write their story. No, they should listen. Slow to speak. We do it backwards. We're quick. I want to write your story and tell you, here's the solution. Here's the solution. And slow to become angry. You know what I had to learn early on as a husband? And poor Irma, she just went. She stayed with me in spite of this. I had to learn not to answer her before she was finished talking. And I know I'm the only guy like that had to learn that. Because my precious wife had a story to tell me, amen? And it was a long story, thank you, Jesus. And I had to learn to be slow to speak, and she's still praying for me, amen? We're swift to hear. What's that? Amen. You might say, well, I don't have anybody to hear. God will hear you. Your small group will hear you. See, there's always somebody in the small group that talks a lot. And you got to put up with them, amen? He's saying, no one's in my small group like that. Oh, yeah? Okay. That's why. This past week when I served with Alex and Lisa Copeland, I had the privilege of them and Angie Ramos. We showed up at the ungodly moment of, 6:30 in the morning to get ready for everybody to come, the kids, and their setup involved. And because I was serving with them, we had conversation. I learned stuff about Alex. I learned stuff about Alex and Lisa Copeland. I learned about their children. I learned about Angie. And that wouldn't have happened if I would have just been preaching all the time. I had to listen, right? And so do you. Amen. Amen. In the Jewish tradition, there's this person that's called the sitting silva. And what they do in their tradition that's real ancient is they sit with one another and they serve each other when someone has lost a loved one, when somebody has died. And they go to the house, and they're the sitting silva. And their job is just to sit there and listen, not to talk. There's rules even, tradition, these Jewish laws, Old Testament, man, they go Old Testament on you. You don't talk. If they're really like ritual, back in the day, no baths. You don't, because you're there. Can you imagine? That was a short one. Hey, you don't eat. You're there for that other person to hear them in their point of grief because their story matters. That's why we need to be quick not to really give advice all the time, but just to listen and love people. Say, I don't know what you're going through. Or that may have happened to me, but you have something that you're going through that I'm just here and I'm here to tell you I love you. We're going to make it through. I'm going to be with you during this time. Amen. What if we had a church like that? Amen. And we do. Let's keep going, living faith. Right, everybody? I compare this movie to the knowledge of Jesus Christ that here's the fourth principle. Be like our wonderful Jesus in his example of compassion. The most compassionate person that ever walked the planet was Jesus. Right, everybody? And in Hebrews, it mentions this. It says, isn't it good when somebody else toots your horn? What if Jesus would have wrote this about himself? But the Hebrew writer, somebody that loved God so much, that knew about Jesus and his history, they wrote about Jesus. And so when someone's going to write your story, is it going to be one that he was compassionate like they wrote about Jesus? And it should be, because you have Christ within you if you're a Christian. We have a high priest that who feels it when we're weak and hurting. Aren't you glad you have somebody that understands when you're hurting today? He really feels what you feel. And we have a high priest that has been tempted in every way. And just as we are, Somebody doesn't need to say amen about this, but Jesus was probably tempted with pornography, and he did not sin. But he understands that temptation. And because he's within you, you can overcome that stronghold in your life. Alcoholism, he was tempted with that. Substance abuse, he was tempted with that, right? But he did not sin. And so Jesus understands everything that you've been through. The University of Michigan did this study for years from 1979 till 2009. And they studied students, like 14,000 students, and they studied them about compassion and how they are compassionate and then how they weren't compassionate. And what they discovered that from 2009, that compassion has dropped 40%. It's a long drop, isn't it? And I think it's dropped, and I know it's dropped because of social media. The rise of that is, you see, because we get social media and we go, you know what, how does this look if I take a picture of King Selfie? And we, you know, there's different poses for selfies, or there's different things that you take for selfies, right, everybody? You take like a selfie. Every girl needs a selfie in a restroom, a public restroom, right? You got that on your Facebook? You just gotta go ahead and take that because you take pictures of that food, amen, that you're gonna eat, amen, and it's a good plot, though, amen. Or you're not eating, or the food that you're on. Everyone needs, everything's on social media, right, everybody? Because you take a selfie of it today, and King Self today. Jesus feels for the hurting. Jesus felt for the blind. Jesus felt for those that were diseased. Jesus felt, he felt what they were going through. And he just didn't feel and sit down and say, I feel for you, man. You know what Jesus did? He rose up and he did something about it. Two blind men on the side of the road. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on us, Jesus. And Jesus stopped the caravan and he said, let's go. And he laid hands on them and their eyes were restored, right? Because he was a man of action. He walked out into a big field and 5,000 people had followed him one time. And he said, these are people without food. They're like harassed, like sheep without a shepherd. We got to feed them. Because he felt, and he multiplied bread and fish, and they ate, right, everybody? Do you remember that one time there was these guys on the roof, like four of them, and they were trying to let down the pallet with this other guy that was their friend, and he was, you know, kind of, and you know what? I would have got ticked if that would have happened, if they would have opened up a roof right now and come down, because I got a sermon to preach. I worked real hard on this thing. They're interrupting me, right? See, sometimes divine interruptions are a way of being Christ-like on how you're going to respond. Are you going to be compassionate? Are you going to get off into the flesh? And I hope you're compassionate, right? Compassion happens when you feel the other person's pain. Life isn't about us. When is the last time that you've served somebody in the name of Jesus? And you have weekly opportunity at Living Faith to do that every week in a small group. And I advise you to do it because it takes the eyes off of us today and we put them on the other people. Right, everybody? When we look at people on the outside, we think, well, they lived a charmed life. They don't need help. But if you saw a heart in there, you'd say they really need God. They need help. Amen. You heard their story today. God is inviting us to connect with others today and see the beauty in people's lives that we're not going to see on the outside. Only with a conversation we'll get on the inside, we'll say, that's what's going on today. And you really begin to love people. I believe there's a final scripture, right? Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 and 8. And the context of this is really not looking out for your own interest, but becoming like Jesus to look at other people's interest, right, everybody? Hey, you haven't had any fun all day. Would you read this out loud with me, right, everybody? Amen. Let's read it on three. I love the guy that says yes, yes, amen, amen. My dad used to say that, and I know he does that because he blesses me. And now he's the yes, yes, amen. Didn't stop. Let's read it on three together. One, two, three, go. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Hey, hold up. Time out. Time. I haven't asked you to read one scripture today. And you think when I gave you an opportunity to talk back at me, you would like go crazy. And I heard this side, but you guys, y'all can read, right? We can read this, right? Can we read this together really loud? Because this is embarrassing. They're watching us too. Amen. And I want to, can we all read on three? Come on, you can do it. Come on, let's start. One, two, three. In relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God. But rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself. Again, the story of this verse was just, hey, you don't look out for your own interest. Look out for other people around you. I believe also that when we post something on social media, like, I lost my job. You know, the Christian thing to do is to say, I'm going to pray for you, man. I'm going to, you know, you're my friend. I'm going to pray for you, right? I'm praying for you right now. Right now, I'm praying for you. And that's a great thing to do on social media. But do you really pray? Let's get real, yeah. Well, y'all are in the probably big percentage of the... But you know what touches my heart? I reach out to thank God for Facebook and all that. But you know when I'm sitting across from somebody and they tell me I lost my job and I'm meeting them eyeball to eyeball, you know what changes? Because I see them. And then I'm not going to be able to pay my bill. Either my mortgage payment is going to happen, or I'm going to have to do this without this car, or we're going to have to do something. And that's what's changed in our culture, that we have a quick like. I like this, I like that, I like this, and I just put an emoji prayer symbol on that I'm praying for you. And it's just too easy not to have relationship with people. Amen, everybody? Amen. It's not wrong, but let's be that church that reaches out, right, everybody? Yeah, amen. We walk in Jesus' shoes. And so if we walk in his shoes and we're people of action, true compassion, it matches that. And it says, I got to go where there's a need. I got to feel what they're feeling, and I'm going to feel what they're feeling today. The Fellowship of Pastors, which is one of the small groups that I belong to, that I've been part of, my brothers that are pastors that are preaching this Sunday morning with me in their churches. You know what the greatest thing that we did this past season was? It wasn't that we met weekly. It wasn't that we probably go out to eat and that sort of thing. It wasn't that. You know what it was? When we all took off in a church van and we went to Sutherland Springs, the site of that shooting that happened when that madman, that demonic possessed man, went in there and shot people in the name of Jesus, or in his name, you know, whatever it was, to kill people. When we went and prayed at that moment, I felt the pain of that community because I was with other brothers and sisters, other brothers that were in a circle. We weren't able to approach to get real close because the FBI had cordoned it off like a crime scene. But when you get on site with somebody, when you stare at them, when you go to the need, amen. There's a brother that was so in our church that was so important in a family's life when they recently, their mother went to go to heaven. And my brother that was a childhood friend with the other brother, they came back together and they were able to help that process through because he wasn't off site. He was on site, boots on the ground, so to speak. Can we be that sort of church that runs towards a need instead of runs away, or just sends a tweet or sends a text? And that's all important, but we need to be there for people, right, everybody? Amen. This church should be a safe place that people can tell their story. It should be a loving place that people aren't afraid to be loved. Your small group, I dare you to tell your story, because someone is going to need to hear it, but somebody also needs to see the beauty in your life today. A small group is where it happens. Be part of it and thank God for it, because everybody deserves to be celebrated and loved in this room and in our community that haven't yet come. Let's look at all the people in this next clip that are waiting to come to Living Faith Church that we need to get ready to celebrate and love.
Thank you.
For what?
Making me go to school. Thank you, choir. That was beautiful. Ladies, gentlemen, boys and girls, graduates. Final award this morning is the Henry Ward Beecher Medal. To honor students who have been notable or exemplary, usually it's a good works, a service award. But I came upon a passage that he wrote which made me realize that good works come in many forms. Greatness, he wrote, lies not in being strong, but in the right using of strength. He or she is the greatest whose strength carries up the most hearts by the attraction of his own. Without further ado, this year I am very proud to award the Henry Ward Beecher Medal to the student whose quiet strength has carried up the most hearts. So, will August Pullman please come up here to receive this award?
Walking up towards that stage, I felt like I was floating. My heart was beating so fast. I didn't really understand why I was getting a medal. It's not like I blew up the Death Star. All I did was get through fifth grade, just like everyone else here.
Congratulations. There you go. That's for you.
Then again, maybe that's kind of the point. Maybe the truth is, I'm really not so ordinary. Maybe if we knew what other people were thinking, we'd know that no one's ordinary. And we all deserve a standing ovation at least once in our lives. My friends do. My teachers do. My sister does for always being there for me. My dad does for always making us laugh. And my mom does the most for never giving up on anything, especially me. It's like that last precept Mr. Brown gave us. Be kind, for everyone is fighting a hard battle. And if you really want to see what people are, all you have to do is look.
So good, isn't it? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Augie realized, you know, he was loved and he was celebrated. And I think Alex has made me look better than I deserve in the sense of how she manages all this PowerPoint. But there's a quote that he says, and he said it at the end, I think, right there. You don't really, how did he put it? I think you're going to show it to me when you get a chance. You don't really know any, you don't know someone until you really look at them. And it's, he says it better. But what if we took the least of someone in our community, the least of the children, or the one that we think, well, they're not real important in our church, and they are, our children are. Or at John Jay, a student that maybe doesn't even attend here yet, or maybe never will attend, or maybe a neighbor that won't attend Living Faith Church, but you still pastor them because you're an extension of this church. What if we learned to listen to them? What if we learned to share with them? We would eventually create a community, amen, a faith in lives, and we would touch people's lives. Not everyone's going to come to Living Faith Church, but that's okay. you're coming, and there's a reason you're coming, so you can be an extension of this church and what we're about and what our mission is. Amen? But let's learn to have compassion like Christ and walk out in his footsteps today and be his ambassadors today. We bow and pray today. Amen. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Heavenly Father, I thank you for speaking to hearts today. And we want to be more like our wonderful Jesus. Less of me, Lord, more of him. You were created to be compassionate. If you haven't arrived yet in this room, and if you're not Jesus, then you don't need to raise your hand. But right now, would you raise your hand if you say, I need more compassion because I want to be moved to action when I see something that's not right or when I can be an answer? Would you lift your hand so I can pray for you? I pray that every hand's lifted because no one is Jesus in this room. Father, equip us now to be outward focused instead of inward. Lord, I've done so much in my life, as I can confess before this congregation, that's so inward focused. And Lord, let my next season be outward focused, Lord, where I'm reaching people. I'm seeing with the eyes of Christ. Lord, help me to lead a church that's doing that, Lord, that we're known for that in our community and in the city even. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, help us to be kind to people in this room, to our neighbors, Lord. Help me to remember that, Lord, that kindness will outlive me. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. I pray right now as I just make this call. Everyone has a story, and it's wonderful. And you might want to fight back on that. You don't know my story, and I don't, but Jesus does. And that's where he intercepts your story. And he says, you know what, I can rewrite it, and I can give you a future, and I can give you hope. If you're without Christ today, and you're lost in this room, or on via Facebook right now, you don't know Christ as your Savior today. You're far away from God, and you've gotten so far away from God, you even think that God's against you, and he's not. If you'd only return to him, you would see, maybe not immediately, that God has always been there for you. And so today, not to embarrass you in this sanctuary today, I'm asking that your hands lifted slightly. I'm not going to embarrass you or call you out. I'm going to note it. Then I'll lead you in a prayer. You'll pray it right where you're at. If that's you, would you lift your hand and say, I'm far away from God. I need Jesus as my Savior today. Just making sure if you're lifting your hand, I'm praying for you. God bless you, sir. You're a mighty man of God. You can put it down. Someone else, you're my brother. It took guts to raise your hand. And you, God bless you, sis. It took. You're a woman of God. Amen. Someone else? God bless you. Yes, ma'am. I appreciate what you've done. You're my sister. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. The altar call again, or the time of prayer. Repentance happens long. We don't need to tell people that they're wrong. They know that they're wrong. And so we lead a prayer like this, and all the sinners that are saved by grace, I pray it. You pray it. If you lifted your hand, pray it loud enough that we can hear it in our own ear, and we pray this prayer together. Pray this prayer right now. My Father in heaven, I'm welcomed by you at a table. Thank you, Lord. You've set that table just for me. I'm part of your family. I receive Christ as my Savior. His blood removes all wrong. It changes me. It makes me new. Thank you, Lord. I'm a follower of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Let's celebrate new life in Jesus' name. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for the three people that lifted their hand. Bless them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. If you receive Christ on Facebook, you let us know. Say, I've received Christ. I made the prayer happen. Let the world know what you've done. Amen. Let me bless you right now. Everyone lifting their hands just a little bit above their lap in the sanctuary right now, via screen right now. Lift your hands just a little bit above your lap. Now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. And may the Lord give you his peace. Amen and amen. God's people are a blessing. Yes, amen.